traffic and safety meeting on July 17th, 2019. I will now call roll. Chairman Reese.
Here.
Commissioner Bass.
Yes.
Commissioner Cleary. Commissioner Gillis.
Here.
Commissioner J. Rahman. Commissioner Osga.
Here.
Commissioner Wade.
Here.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we have a couple items on the agenda, one of which is the request on behalf of Elan Harabadi to increase the two-hour time limit parking on the south side of the 7700 block of Lake to a three-hour limit. Are you guys here to speak to that?
Okay. She brought me along with that.
Sure. Well, if either of you would like to address it, you're welcome to.
I just have...
And do you mind just giving us your name?
Yes. Hi, I'm Donna Fantetti-Slapica. I live in River Forest, and I also own River Forest Chocolates. And I brought my neighbor and tenant. They have the handbag store next door. And we agree with the extended time limit, and we want to thank you for... I know there was a little bump in the road when they started ticketing, and then they kind of cooled off on that because customers were getting kind of angry with us. So we very much appreciate that, and the extended time would be great, and a uniform time would be appreciated too.
Okay. Do you agree?
Yes.
Do you want to add anything? Or?
I have to sign in if I have.
No, to. I mean if you want to add anything, you're welcome to. But
I
don't
can
have
just
to.
Add here. So I'm a resident of Oak Park. I grew up in Oak Park, but I did open up a shop thanks to Donna. We rent from her space, and one thing that I do. I found it wonderful. We chose River Forest because the ease of parking, and a lot of my clients from Oak Park are very happy about that. So yeah, it's very helpful to have the extended hours, and they do appreciate that it's not as tight as Oak Park parking for shopping. They actually like coming, being able to park and come in and do their shop, and they do stay for a while. So and it makes it nice if they go to the salon and then they have time to come over and shop at our boutique. So
okay. Any commissioners have any questions or comments?
What, as tenants of that building, how many spaces do you have in back of the building?
So it's kind of a condo building. Our lot is open parking. So, but I own two spots, and the bank owns 12 spots, and then the balance of the spots belong to the tenant. There's 12 apartments above. Elan and the dental office share all those spots. There's probably about 20 additional spots.
So there's not a lot of spots for all the tenants and the businesses. Because, I mean, I go to the bank, and Byline now owns the building, I believe. They bought Community Bank.
They own the building.
Oh, those are condos?
Yeah, there's five owners of the building.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyone have any comment?
My only other question, I mean, the other businesses along there, are they in favor of it? Do you know? I mean, you don't have to speak
for. I know for sure, you know, three hours is about, if you go get color and everything, that's probably about the time it takes is 3 hours. The bank, they own six or eight spaces behind, so on street is currently not an issue for them. The dentist is not in that space now. She actually moved up on North Avenue, so I don't know. The medical office, I think they're pretty good with it because Jack Strand owns that lot. So kind of they park their 14 businesses in that building.
How long would it take to help Rick and me?
Correct.
And on the hair issue. That'd be several hours.
We could go for massage or other.
Get our nails done.
Yeah, pedicure.
Yeah.
Well, would anyone like to make a motion?
There's no other time frame parking.
Everything around there is 2 hours.
Everything around there, meaning on Lake Street.
On Lake Street, and what's the one on both sides?
We have
Central too.
Yeah, everything's 2 hours. The only thing that I have a little concern with, but we'll deal with it when it happens, is with the Lincoln School parents. Will they start parking there for 3 hours? Mm-hmm. But we may come back here in a year and you guys will want it to go back to 2 hours. I mean, it just makes it easier for them if they're over there doing something. Or we had that lady in who, that we had taken away the parking on, not park, but the other.
Franklin, right.
And she was complaining about the 2 hours because she moves her car out every day. And she'll be very excited that she can park for 3 hours in front of there.
I think 3 hours does not mean you're going to stay there all day, and I think isn't that what we're trying to
do? Well, yeah, yeah. I just playing a little devil's advocate. I'm for it, but I'm just saying there may be some issues down the line with like that woman that was in here and perhaps parents at Lincoln. But we'll see in a year what happens.
Yeah. And will the parking that you're proposing be the same from Harlem all the way to Thatcher?
Just your block.
Oh, I was told that it was going to all be the same.
No, we were looking
no,
at...
No, that was this. The petition was just the 7700 block of Lake Street.
On both north south, I thought it was just south side.
That was my understanding. That was my understanding.
So by St. Luke, where all that development's going, will still remain too?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whether it changes at some point, I guess we consider. I mean, we generally try to be consistent, but you know, you recognize that. You know, maybe 2 hours is somewhat random too, so.
We do have some 15-minute spaces as well in front of the east of Franklin by the bank, for what it's worth.
For short term.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and then the couple over by Lathrop, yes. But yeah, the majority of that is all 2 hour. There is some 3 hour as well over by Keystone Park, it looks like. So when you get to Keystone Avenue, some
so
of that is 3 hour.
For
parking,
for games or something.
Yeah, but everything, once you get east of the tracks, most of that is all 2 hour.
Yeah. So it would be just in front of your shops.
The proposal would be to make your block on the south side right in front of your shops 3 hour.
So changing that to 3 hours would make it 3 hours all the way from Franklin to Thatcher, right?
No,
just block.
Just park. I was just saying what else is out there. All that's being discussed tonight is the south side of Lake between Park and Franklin.
Between Park and Franklin, just on your block.
It would be consistent with the 3 hour that's over there, but there's still some gaps of 2 hour parking kind of along the track, the CN tracks that run north south too. So it's still not necessarily consistent, but the police department has a license plate reader now, so we're not chalking tires anymore. The computers are all going through, do all the work on this. So it's the consistency isn't as much of a concern as it used to be.
Explain that system
to us.
Is that the little white thing on the car?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I saw it today. Yes. Guy was behind me. I saw it recording something.
Is the view of the commissioners, I don't know if everybody's consistent, but that we ought to focus just on the south side of that block and not address the side that's adjacent to Key to the school?
I think so. Again, just based on the request because of a handful of clients for the, whatever you call it, the hair salon, I wouldn't know about it. But the, you know, she was asking for a little bit longer because of some clients take more than 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you may have other businesses that want more turnover. They don't want people there for 3 hours, right?
So the Lincoln side would still remain 2 hours.
Well, I mean, the signs are all posted out there, so it shouldn't be too confusing. And it doesn't sound like this has been the only request we've received for increased time limit parking out there. So that seems to indicate that there generally isn't a problem with 2 hour parking, which means most people are coming and going within a 2 hour time frame. So if that's the case, increasing this to 3 hour shouldn't change any of that. It just allows some of the hair salon folks to stay there a little bit longer.
As long as they park on the south side of the street.
Correct.
Is it? I know Jack, Mr. Strand owns the building next door to you and the parking lot, but don't people park in that parking lot to shop anywhere on the street?
Yeah, that's my question.
I mean, I used to park in that parking lot for hours during the day.
You mean his lot?
Yeah, his part right
this
here.
This one right here.
This parking lot right here.
The one on the corner.
It's usually pretty full. Staff. Some staff parks in there, and I think some of that's permit through Jack. I think he gets permits for his businesses or something there. Generally speaking, I don't think there are a lot of spots available in there during the day.
Okay. Because when I would go to Lincoln, I would just park in there.
So what does everyone think about both north and south side of 3 hours?
I'm personally against the proposal, but that's just me. I think it's a bad idea.
Because?
I think there's plenty of parking in back. If you have one of these to-dos where you're going to have 3 hours of your head being worked on, I think you park in back. I think there's enough going on there. Like you said, chocolates, handbags, the bank. There's enough going on there that 3 hours, like Steve said, might be too much. And then we start getting into the school issue. Then I start thinking about the kindergartners. That's 3 hours in the morning. So if we have somebody, a parent perhaps, coming over there and saying, oh, well, my kid's out in 3 hours. I'm the one reading in class today. Then they just park there. I just think when we are not consistent, because right now it's two, and for some reason it's two, and I have a feeling there's a reason behind why it's 2 hours, I think for the necessity of a few people getting a really long, I don't know, hairstyle or something, just tell them to park in back. I bank over there. There's usually a space or two, and I know that there's a doorway into the shop.
I don't think it's legal parking back there for. Sure, I think most of those spots are for the bank. They're marked as the bank.
Right.
I know you've got two.
Right.
How many does Alon?
It's open parking.
Yeah,
you have to remember how many employees she has in that shop, and at least 10.
Yeah. Oh, so she has all the spots
that aren't being used by the tenants.
Back here? Whoops.
It's open for her.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
So you have the people who live upstairs.
Yes.
You have probably us about two cars that we use. Two spots.
Right. So the essentially the spaces in back, the open spaces, and there are a lot of them. I mean, it goes for eight. What is it? 10 foot of space for 200 feet deep of all open spaces, and it's all employee parking, which. I guess it makes sense, but...
Well, there's also 12 apartments.
And there's 12 apartments, right.
Mm.
The convenience for her clients and our clients...
Well, that does not... That belongs to Chorus Bank.
Right.
So which space?
Yeah.
No, I get it,
well,
but you're chocolates
and
your handbags.
There.
I haven't bought a handbag that took me 3 hours.
Yeah, there's only 20 spots in the back there that are open. For public use,
mm-hmm.
or that condominium.
Public
right,
and then Jackson and Mr. Strand's parking lot here, which they say there isn't a lot of parking available, but I always seem to find a space.
I think you get towed there. It's not.
Do
a
you
public
get towed?
Lot.
Yeah, I used to park there all the time.
Yeah, I bet it's not a public lot.
Well, I'm just one of many here. That's just my opinion on going from two to three over there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is true that, you know, based on the letter says a small minority of the clients have services, but it sounds like some of those clients have been ticketed, at least were ticketed.
Yes, they started ticketing.
Okay.
I was out of town when
they Okay.
That's a $20 ticket?
30, I couldn't tell you.
30?
I couldn't tell you, but I think Michael was going through, our CSO, excuse me, was going through with the license plate reader, and like I said, it kind of geotags the car, and then when he goes back 2.5 hours later, it dings on anything that's been there longer than 2 hours. So I think there were a couple citations issued. I think they were waived, frankly, but that's how this whole conversation started.
Do you know, were these signatures customers, you know, on the petition?
I think that's the case, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I mean, I think there's some good points raised, and, you know, there's certainly the possibility that opening it up to three could create other problems, but I guess the question is,
But I mean, you're here. You both are here to advocate for the 3 hours.
2 hours is probably good for me. I'm here to support a very active business in our village, and I want to support that because, as a neighbor business, we both benefit from her clients.
Right.
If it's, we've had a lot of sales from our clients that have come over, even from the dentist.
You get carryover. You get carryover.
So, like you were saying, it's only 3 hours, but it could be an hour there. You spend any time with her, spend any time with us.
Right.
Kind of.
Well.
Okay, so we know, anyone else think we should go both north and south, or just start with the south side?
I'd be inclined to start with the south.
Yeah, that's my feeling too.
Okay.
See what happens.
Yeah.
If anybody you want, or would anybody like to make a motion to do it?
I'll make a motion to go ahead and put it 3 hours on the south side.
I'll second it, yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to call roll on this vote. Chairman Reese.
Yes.
Commissioner Bass.
Yes.
Commissioner Cleary. Commissioner Gillis.
Yes.
Commissioner Jayaraman. Commissioner Asga.
No.
Commissioner Wade.
Yes.
Okay, passes.
Okay. So what happens is our vote is a non-binding recommendation to the village board, because this would require, I think, an ordinance change, right?
Yes.
So at one of the upcoming board meetings, they will take this up. They could accept it, they could deny it, I suppose they could change it. So if you communicate to, you know, people who might be interested, if they want to attend, if you or your, you know, colleagues want to attend the board meeting, you don't have to, but you're welcome to attend the board meeting to speak to it.
Is that, will that be on Monday?
Yeah, this will be papered up for Monday's meeting next week, yes.
In this room?
This coming Monday?
Yes.
Okay, so it'll be this coming Monday. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else you
Yes, we're talking about the traffic of the expansion of the rail, at the Union Pacific Rail expansion, and the safety and noise that attends to that.
Well, why don't we go ahead to that topic?
Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Good.
Oh, don't run. Don't run them.
No.
Take care.
Good night. Thanks for coming.
And I'll just stop by and see that silver scooter in there.
Yeah, everybody's been driving it.
Yeah.
Did they put an antique Vespa in there or something?
My silver one. We went away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I saw Donna, and she's like, "Oh, the guy that looked great in the shop." I'm like, "Go ahead and take it. We don't need it."
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So Johan, on this issue, I guess I'm concerned about what, and if you want to address it, I'm concerned about our jurisdiction. You know, I don't know. For traffic and safety, but I'm concerned about why this issue would be appropriately even taken up by our commission.
Okay, let me start off by just framing what my agenda item is. The request for the River Forest Traffic and Safety Commission to make a recommendation to the board that the homeowners affected by the Union Pacific Third Mainline expansion project are going public on a number of issues, and I'd like for you to be informed about that, because it is a matter of traffic and safety, particularly since we have issues of people having lost their lives as well as injured, and the access that's unsecured that takes people up on the tracks, especially with this access road. So that's the A1 for your information, and I think that if we can discuss this and get some input from the commission, it strengthens the owner's case. The second point why I think it's important for us to discuss this is this is a matter that, although it affects 42 families that are adjacent to the tracks, the sound, the noise impinges on a wider body of community people, and not just those 43 families. So in that regard, it is a matter of not road traffic, but certainly traffic related to rail. So I wanted us to take this issue up and lend some support to this as it goes to the board. Just as a way of, by way of background, a meeting was held here by the members of this organization. Now they are a 501c3. When you can see at the bottom of your handout, it's called the River Forest Rail Traffic Pollution Protection Group Limited. They presented to two officials of Union Pacific about a week or two ago their concerns, and they did a very systematic presentation on the issues of access, of safety, and of sound questions. And at that point, the officials who spoke at that meeting were certainly the PR person and the project engineer, and both of them had no leverage or ability to take any of the concerns forward. The meeting itself generated a fair amount of animus and grievance, and so there is a high degree of dissatisfaction if nothing is done. And the implication
you're
of
saying animus and grievance by
to, of the homeowners towards the Union Pacific. For one thing, they were never publicly informed about the impact, and for another, there was also significant use of property and loss of access to the alley and so on that just needed a clarification. Any case, so all that to say, the fact that this expansion is almost coming to an end, they expect it to end January, February next year, but this segment of River Forest is the last phase of that expansion. All that is more than $100 million federal grant project, and the fact that the noise abatement and the safety questions were not satisfactorily answered. So what I have on this handout are just the main points that this group of homeowners affected are going to public with this.
Can I just ask you, that meeting though, that was a meeting of this 501c and interested, you know, residents and these officials from Union Pacific.
Correct.
It wasn't otherwise like with the village board?
No. Kathy Aducci was present, and so was Commissioner Gillis. And so he can speak to the issues too. But if I may, can I just go ahead and make the presentation?
Sure.
Just regarding the two topics, the one, safety, the tracks had been unsecured, the fencing is non-existent now, and an access road that was originally stated as being temporary subsequently have become permanent. All of these issues have given access to people to readily take their children up there, children go up there and play. We've even had somebody escape from the flee from the River Forest Police up that track after going into two neighbors' garages. So they fled via this open access track railroad bed. The other thing was also that we had reported, one of the neighbors had reported gunshots that came from that the rail track close to the homes. And so it is clear that there's, with this absence of a barrier and the easy access with this ramp that's now built there, there's rampant trespassing on their property, and of course the question of safety is impacted. Of greater importance is the sound issue. Now, in this context, just by way of background, here is the November 2016 documentation that was submitted to the federal and local authorities regarding this expansion. It's called a Documented Categorical Exclusion, Union Pacific West Third Mainline Project, eastern section, and it was dated November 6, 2016. In this, it gives a table of the noise and sound impact on the environment, and it mentions right at the bottom, and I'll pass this on, that at receptor location R12 and R13, you had overall existing noise level measured at 78 and 77 decibels. According to the Federal Transit Administration's noise and vibration impact assessment of 2006, this level above 75 decibels is designated as, quote, unlivable level of noise. That means that when, in this documentation that they submitted on our village, when they listed the impact assessed, not as moderate, not as high, but as no impact. No impact. When, in fact, 75 or above, this is 77 and 78, that those are unlivable level of noise. So in other words, this document was in error of federal regulations. And so the officials did not recognize the validity of their own facts as well as the federal stipulation. And so this information will be taken to the media and will be made public. You need to know about this because this is a violation of the federal guidelines, and we unequivocally point that out. It's also true that the Union Pacific is violating the National Environmental Protection Act, attempting to avoid responsibility for this unlivable level of noise and the danger that it is creating with this expansion project. Just as a matter of fact, 50 freight trains, 60 metro trains daily, and thousands of commuters crisscross one of the heaviest rail corridors in the nation, this stretch of Union Pacific One. We require, therefore, and here's our ask, we require that because federal regulations stipulate that there should be mitigating in cases where unlivable level of noise is detected, that Union Pacific considers an 8-foot-tall barrier made out of concrete, brick, or acoustic fencing stretching from the Vale interlocking all the way to Des Plaines River Bridge to protect this neighborhood.
Johan,
this barrier
may I interrupt you?
Sorry.
How long is your presentation?
I'm almost done.
Okay.
I'm almost done. As you can see, I'm at the last paragraph. To protect our neighborhood. This barrier needs to be situated along the rail bed and be tall enough to prevent climbing or rise over the wheels passing of the passing trains. And then there are facts about the kinds of acoustic fencing or the noise barrier wall and information on the internet that we suggest and so on. So with that, as the stated facts, you are welcome to look at the table that was presented by the Union Pacific. I'm requesting that the Commission consider making a recommendation that the issue that is being brought forward here be given serious consideration by the Board of Trustees.
So I guess my issue is personally I think you raise a serious issue. I think it's probably maybe appropriate for the Board of Trustees. I have a question about whether it's really appropriate for our commission. And not to read our jurisdiction too narrowly, but I just looked up on the River Forest website that the function of the Traffic and Safety Commission is to review transit, parking, and potentially hazardous traffic matters to the village that may have been referred to them. Now, obviously you raise issues of hazard, you raise issues of noise, no doubt about it. I just question whether, and what we do here is non-binding anyway, And so, and you know, I got on the agenda that it was a request to discuss the project, but you know, we received at your meeting here this note. So I'm personally sympathetic to the issue, but I also personally am not in favor of our commission taking it up. But happy to hear, you know, other people may disagree, and happy, you know, that's just my view. I mean, you guys could disagree and express a different view.
Well, I was at that meeting, and President Ducci made very clear this is a priority for her.
Mm-hmm.
She did say, if I remember right, she's going to try to get another meeting in the either late summer or early
August
fall,
27th
with representatives. So she's trying to get Christopher Walsh here, or Chris Walsh.
And Danny Davis.
Danny Davis.
Appropriate political, other state and federal.
Right.
Right.
State and federal.
So she has committed to doing that.
Okay.
And is planning on, and she was, you know, frankly, showed a little bit of anger, which she usually doesn't, because the folks from the railroad did not.
They weren't prepared, and they didn't.
They were not prepared.
And they didn't show.
No, there was no compassion on their end.
Yeah.
We're doing this, and it was a PR person, it was a project engineer. Neither of them had any authority to do anything, and they didn't budge from what they.
Well, what about the issue of whether this is really our commission is the appropriate forum, though, to consider this issue?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think it definitely is the board, and I think it's the village president right now who has committed that she is going to do it. That she gets the appropriate state reps in a room to meet with the group,
mm-hmm.
and get the appropriate people from the railroad here.
Right. See, nowhere in our remit that you just read on the website does it say automobile traffic. And the fact that we have hazardous waste, our hazardous materials being freighted through our village is indeed a matter of hazard.
It is freight traffic, that's true. I just disagree with your reading of it.
But it doesn't say road traffic only.
It doesn't.
It doesn't exclude it.
No, you're correct.
So I would like to recommend that, since our recommendations are non-binding, that out of a gesture of goodwill and as a token of concern, that we just register this, knowing that this is an exceptional type of request. It's not a common request.
But register to what end? I mean, would you be looking for us to actually present some kind of a motion to the board, or some kind of...
We have two options.
I thought we did last time, didn't we?
I wasn't here last time.
We didn't make a formal motion.
We made some sort of motion. Do you remember exactly what it was, Jeff? We did do something last time.
There was nothing like concrete about it, though. It was
just bringing it to their
attention. It was bringing to the attention.
But it was basically a request for the sound wall and a couple other things, if I recall. But it was more or less just a conversation about requesting it. There wasn't anything about requesting the board to do X, Y, or Z. It was just kind of this abstract conversation.
What you're asking for is what we voted on last time. And my only question is, if, you know, we basically, if I remember correctly...
Yeah, we said something along the lines of we support this group.
That we would, as a commission, you know, in our capacity, which... We don't have jurisdiction to touch a railroad easement ever in our lifetimes. However, we did make an impassioned motion or whatever to make it something that we would look into if possible.
It was a supportive gesture, a statement of support,
which I think is all we can do. And we, you know, now you're asking us to do it again.
Then let's just agree that this is a follow-up. This is for your information, and it's noted, and the record shows that.
Well, Kathy knows, though, and other people, you do too, I guess. it can be put on the agenda for the Board of Trustees.
Right. And we will definitely push it forward.
I think the board is functioning in their capacity to address this issue. I think Commissioner Bass is here to get collateral support.
That's it.
So
just to strengthen the very point.
Right. And that was made very clear. You weren't here for the last meeting, but that was made very clear in the last meeting. And here we sit, and we're in the same position.
Right.
I really don't know how much more we can do.
Well, consider this an update.
No, that's great. No,
consider this an update.
I appreciate
that. And that this commission is well aware of this. The procedure.
And that's what you said you were going to do, and that's what you're doing. So, and we did express our interest in this project.
Yeah.
And that's what we're getting. Basically,
good.
We're getting a follow up, and I don't know. We don't need to really formally say anything, but I remain interested, and I actually have a couple of questions, but I don't think they're relevant right now. But I think
that's in
summation, I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's fair. And I would like for the commission's goodwill to be registered with their board, and that comes from that. And if it can be an item with their
put the village board agendas together. I mean, after last meeting as well, I talked to administration about the conversation that was held. But you know, our village manager and the village board, they're the ones that kind of formulate that agenda based on what they want to discuss as a body.
Okay.
You're certainly...
So I can request that they consider this as an agenda item then for discussion.
You can request that. I mean, are you requesting that as a resident or is the Traffic and Safety requesting? Because those are two different things.
Right.
And I guess my question would be if you all want to get together, if you want to draft something and all of you want to approve it or whatever the case may be, if this is coming from the Traffic and Safety Commission, that's different than resident base requesting that the board discuss.
That's the real point why I wanted collateral support from the Traffic and Safety Commission.
I'm personally, again, I'm sympathetic to the cause, and I don't mean to be negative. I personally am opposed to this commission taking up a formal request related to this to advise the board or to give the board any recommendation on this topic.
I think
it's something for the neighbors to do, for this for this 501c to do, for lawyers to do. You know, that there are plenty of avenues to do it. I personally don't think it is part of our remit. I think it goes way beyond. And I just don't think we should be taking up this issue at this commission.
That's your prerogative.
I may be a minority of one. I mean,
yeah,
so I don't mind. But I also want if there's a motion on the table to do something formal, then you know I guess I'd ask you or anyone else here to put that motion before this commission. We see if we have a second, and then we can have a discussion about whether we're going to support that motion. You know, otherwise, I think that there, you know, Kathy Ducey is aware of this. Other people are aware of it.
I think there are
ways to make people aware. I'm just, you know, so I'm voicing my objection. I just would ask as a point of order, if you or anyone else would like to make a motion, go ahead and make the motion. Then we'll have a second. If we have a second, then we'll discuss it, and we can decide whether we're going to vote on that motion.
Well,
I hate to be too formalistic about it. Mm-hmm.
No, but you have to be in that situation because I look at it as well, and I just think that if our commission were to get involved, it may even muddy the waters. And I think our token support is probably the best way to go about this. And again, you're here to update us. And again, we appreciate that, but I just think that. It's kind of like being an associate or a new employee telling the CEO and the group that runs the company what they think about something they don't know what they're talking about. I don't follow the analogy,
but in any case...
I guess what I'm saying is, as a citizen, as your neighbor...
Right.
I would support everything you're saying.
Okay.
But my concern is, I just feel, again, my view is that as a commission,
I think that it goes beyond what we are really organized to address. But again, I welcome anyone to make a motion, and you know, I do think the proper sort of procedure would be if someone not wants to make a motion, we can see if there's a second, we discuss that and we vote on it. You know, if the idea is that this is an update, I would say great, we appreciate it, but I would encourage this group to take the matter up, you know, directly with the board or with their legal counsel or, you know, whomever else they want to address, because there are definitely serious issues here. But I just personally think that it goes beyond what we're really set up to address.
Yeah. And I think we did support them last time. That was part of the, you know, and again, I forgot the exact word we said, but what we voted on, but it was, you know, we were supporting this group and their efforts however we could. And again, I'm agreeing that we're limited here what we can do, but we can support that group. And I was at that meeting as support,
mm-hmm.
you know, when Jeff sent that out, you know, to listen. And I spoke to Megan afterwards too, you know, just to.
The only other thing I would caution this group about is the potential issue of having too many conversations in a vacuum, right? So you had the neighborhood meeting with President Aduti and some of the residents and UP officials, and if you folks are going to take this on as an issue to discuss, now that's a potentially separate conversation that maybe doesn't take on the same directive as the neighborhood meetings, if you will, and now we've got two separate conversations going on in two different places. That may not be
well.
Conducive.
By the same token, the mere fact that I'm bringing this to the commission is an attempt at making a uniform chain of command to the Board of Trustees.
Which I understand,
yeah.
But there are no trustees here, there are no residents
no.
here, there are no UP officials here. So I just it's
right.
part of the
but
conversation.
But I think right now the trustees are aware of this. Kathy, you know, President Ducci is
right.
aware of this. Eric Palm is aware of this. This is on their radar. And I know for sure, just based on what we saw at that meeting with President Ducci, she is going to do something for her residents.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very clear when she said that. I mean,
that, yeah, she was passionate.
Yeah,
about
she was
this.
Very clear what she,
right.
who she was protecting, and it was not the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Steve, you've not said anything for the night on this topic.
I you know, I wasn't here for the last meeting. I kind of agree with Doug as far as whether this is in our jurisdiction. And if we've already done something, and if the board and the president or the village has already made this a priority, I don't know what we can contribute.
Okay, let me, in the interest of time, and I know that looking at the tenor of the discussion, there's probably not going to be a second on this. In the interest of time and for expeditious contest, can we express support for this initiative that was given last time, and that we recognize this as an update on that support that we gave to the board from this on this topic? That's all we can do. That we recognize the update as a point of information, and that the note of support that came from the Traffic and Safety Commission to the Board of Trustees be recognized. That's the sort of lowest common denominator.
Are you asking me, or the
I'm just
or?
I'm speaking to the chairman.
Well, the minutes would reflect that you gave this update. And I think the minutes would reflect that there was a general sentiment of support,
mm-hmm.
but I think the minutes would also support, it would reflect that there's at least concern expressed by some.
That's true.
That it may, you know, that our commission may have limits on what we can do to address the issue.
Right.
And so, you know, my view would be the minutes should reflect that. You know, I don't have any objection to Jeff, you know, letting people, you know, in administration know that you made this report and you made this update and that there is general support. But I'd also at least, I do think that the view should also include that we do have at least some concern about whether
Fair enough.
you know, that it may go beyond what we are really outfitted to address.
Fair enough.
And there's a question there, just in what capacity are you working on this project yourself? Are you working as a commissioner of traffic and safety, or are you working as resident?
You know that all of us have multiple hats, right?
No, right.
So
but in this
context, this matter came to me, and I'm both a resident affected by this, as well as someone who has been asked to take leadership in this. It would be disingenuous if I sat on the Traffic and Safety Commission and was silent. Understood.
So the
point is that I am privileged to be both a resident who has been designated to represent them, but I'm also privileged to be present here so that in matters of traffic and safety, rail, road, any traffic is of the remit, which it does not exclude them. That's, so I carry two hats.
Well, right. So then I think a lot of our questions have already been answered if there's work being done by the commission when you are representing yourself as a commissioner in front of the Board of Trustees, the railroad, so forth and so on.
Uh-huh.
So that in, you know, I don't know if we formally voted to have a commissioner represent the commission on this River Forest Rail Traffic Pollution Protection Group.
No, that wasn't. I mean, that group has just come since our last meeting.
I don't have any problem at all with you or anyone else in the village bringing an issue to.
I mean, it's a logical connection, right?
Well, it is, but. This is kind of a first,
exactly.
At least in my view, where the issue that's come before the commission, I think there's at least a legitimate question whether, I hear your reading of traffic, right, but I do think there's still a legitimate question whether there was ever any intention that this commission would address all manner of like freight traffic, rail traffic that happens to go.
That's totally hypothetical. You cannot say if that's the case. I mean, traffic is traffic.
I'm
if it's
you
omitted,
it would be a matter of interpretation. But
right,
listen,
right.
But so, I guess my view is, we've addressed it. You addressed it at the last meeting. That support was registered. You know, I think it will be reflected in the minutes. Unless there's a motion for us to actually address. I think the minutes should reflect the discussion we've had, and we ought to end it. I mean,
that's fair enough. No, I think we'll leave it at that, and we've explored new avenues, and I would just as a matter of interest, I would have enormous concern if we had a hazmat accident in the village. And we, as a Traffic and Safety Commission, were silent, just by contrast.
I disagree with that, because at least I personally do not think that whether this commission addresses it pro or con is really particularly important or relevant. I think that there are plenty of avenues for this group, any affected citizen. I reiterate, I think these are important issues, and I think they're serious issues. And I would personally support them. I don't support our commission taking formal action on this beyond the action that the commission's already taken and the discussion that's already been had. Because I think it goes
fair.
Way beyond what this commission is set up to address and to advise the board on.
Well, we don't need to take action. I appreciate us discussing this matter. And we can have an honest disagreement.
And it was a good update.
Yes.
And then I think that, you know, when we have that meeting, you know, if we can again get an email from Jeff, you know, when on the
right,
it is for
it's
sure on the 27th?
27th of August.
There you go.
Oh, it's been confirmed? Okay.
It's been confirmed.
Do you have a time?
I believe it's 7:30 in this room.
And would that be otherwise publicized to people in the village?
I assume that Catherine.
My understanding of the last meeting was that it was not open to the public.
It wasn't?
No, it was.
It was.
Oh, no, no, no. It was not a public meeting. No, you're right. In other words, it wasn't a posted meeting.
Right.
Because then you have open
meetings.
No,
it wasn't.
Right.
It was, it was a, yeah.
Right, right. It was an open meeting.
It was an open meeting.
But it was not a public meeting.
So all I'm saying is I don't know how the next one is set, set up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's on a Tuesday night.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, that should be information that is proffered to us rather than us going searching for it if we are.
I'm just
for the parties that are involved.
I'm like a broken record. I just feel like we have plenty of issues on our agenda. I think this is a serious issue, but it's not for this commission to address. But if you, Johan, or anyone else disagrees, people are free to put something on the agenda, and we take it up and we decide what we're going to do with it. But,
Well, there's always new things. Tomorrow we have airplane issues.
that is true.
Yeah. Well, that sort of covers our agenda for the day.
Yes. So, motion to adjourn.
So
I will second that motion.
Yes.
Who's making the motion?
I make the motion.
Okay, Johan. Okay. And you got your second.
You have your second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.